Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Wednesday, July the 19th, 2023. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here in my slightly better than average panel is with me again today, including Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. I excel at mediocrity.
I said slightly better.
Is that a contradiction? I excel at mediocrity.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I'm so happy we're getting a little better.
A little better. By the time we're 80 years old, we're going to be top-notch.
Really better than average. All right, so thanks for joining us. Okay. We have Jim Caviezel. Yes, that Jim Caviezel, the actor from Sound of Freedom and Passion of the Christ. He's supposed to be on with us in 9 minutes. So I don't need anybody to jinx this thing, okay? because we've scheduled famous people before, and then they cancel. They don't show.
Famous people things come up.
Yeah.
If you're a famous person,
right,
you're pulled in a bunch of directions.
So we need, we're going to trust that Jim Caviezel will show up 9 minutes from now. We look forward to that interview. And we've been having a lot of Hollywood celebrities on here.
Had Kirk Cameron yesterday.
Yeah.
Jenna Ellis, who we didn't know till she told us, is in a documentary, Essential Church. That's from John MacArthur and his church out in California.
Now we have Jim Caviezel on. Fred and I have seen the movie, Sound of Freedom, which we recommend.
Powerful movie.
Yeah, a powerful movie. And you're going to go see it?
Yeah, I have plans to go see that this weekend, if it's still playing. And then tomorrow, folks, Harrison Ford will be on with us. We'll discuss his new semi-blockbuster.
No. Yeah.
And then Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah, Tom Cruise next week.
Tom Cruise is going to come in and do a stunt here in the studio.
That's right.
He's going to jump over tables. Harrison Ford, you know he's 80.
I know. And he looks it. I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah.
He's still doing movies, so tip of the hat to him. But you cannot stop Father Tom.
You think when he's 92, they'll be doing another Indiana Jones?
I think this is it.
That was it.
This is it. Indiana Jones.
And the nursing home.
That's what I was going to say.
Exploration.
In the nursing home of doom.
Indiana Jones in the nursing home of doom?
That's right.
You're on something, Ed, right there.
That's
starring
right.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, hand me that whip.
Somebody else will have to crack it, though.
Yes, that's right.
I don't have the strength.
Oh, my back!
I cracked the whip and threw my back out.
I threw my back out eating pudding.
Through a straw.
Oh, man, you are bad. I guess I started it.
Yes.
So now we're 7 minutes away from Jim Caviezel. And he still hasn't canceled. So we're doing good here on the program.
Right.
All right, Ed, you want to tell folks how they can join us on what you call that their internet?
Yeah, if you want to watch us do this radio program, I'm still not sure why somebody would want to, but we do have folks who do. You have two options. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. Click through. You can watch the live video stream of this program, or you can go to our own streaming platform, AFA Streaming. That is streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and you can watch this program and a lot of other live streaming from some of our talk radio programs here on the American Family Radio Network.
Anybody else? We got any? We don't have any other guests today, right? No guests today. All right. So Abe usually with us on Wednesdays, but Abraham Hamilton III, but he's out this week. And all right, Fred, what do you got?
Yeah, as we speak, the Israeli President Isaac Herzog is just about to stand up and address a joint session of Congress. Normally, such a speech would not get a lot of coverage, but there's been so much news leading up to this, driven by opposition amongst Democrats to the state of Israel. Just a few days ago, one particular Democrat from Washington, Congresswoman Jayapal, she is from Washington State, she called Israel a racist state, and she has been taken to task for that. Now, she tried to walk that back, but unfortunately, she's had controversy on this front before. Last night in the House, there was a resolution passed by most in the House, with the exception of 9 Democrats. They would not give approval to a resolution calling for support of the nation of Israel. Former Vice President Mike Pence was asked about this yesterday. Here's a little bit of what Jayapal had to say about Israel and the response from Mike Pence. Cut number 5.
We have been fighting to make it clear that Israel is a racist state, that the Palestinian people deserve self-determination and autonomy, that the dream of a two-state solution is slipping away from us.
Israel is our most cherished ally. Literally, since the founding of this country, Americans hoped and prayed to see the people of Israel return to their historic homeland. We were the first nation on earth to recognize the Jewish state of Israel in 1948. And the comments by Jayapal referring to Israel as a racist state, well, I'm glad she walked it back, but it was a disgrace. And frankly, having another member of the squad yesterday refer to the racist government of Israel, these are nothing short of rank anti-Semitic comments. And the time has come for the Democrat leadership in the Congress to take action against those who are expressing really dangerous statements.
Hey, good on Mike Pence. Yes. I like that full-throated defense of the nation of Israel and taking these members of Congress to task. So it was only these 9 Democrats. Those are the only ones who voted against this resolution.
Correct. And I think they're all part of the progressive wing. And Jayapal is head of that progressive wing. But yes, all 9 Democrats voting against this resolution, which simply stated, we support the nation of Israel.
And you know, it's sad that the Biden administration has been so, I would say, cool towards the nation of Israel. I don't want to overstate it, but for example, the president never having spoken with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister.
No, not up till yesterday.
Okay.
Apparently they spoke. Netanyahu is supposed to come to the United States later this year, but normally he is the prime minister, Netanyahu. He gets the first invite normally, but it's not happening right now.
You know, Israel, I've been there many times, and you guys have been and you know the situation on the ground. Listen, is Israel a Jewish state?
Right. It is.
Okay, that's number one.
Yes.
It's a official Jewish state.
Correct.
Okay. Number two, the Arabs there have a good life for the most part. All right? I'm talking about compared to the rest of the world. Maybe not the US or some other Western countries, but Israel is a modern country. I don't know what the population, I would guess 20-25% are Arab. And I work with Arabs all the time. When I go to Arabs, not all Arabs are Muslims, but the vast majority of them are. But they're not Jewish, and yet they live inside Israel, and they have a life, and they go to school, and they go to work, and they vote.
They can be members of the Knesset.
They can be members of the Knesset. They serve in the military. Mm-hmm. So it's just there are worse places in the world. Let's take China and their human rights violations. Okay, Israel is far better, comparatively speaking, than China on that front. You can also look at some Muslim countries.
Iran?
Yes, that are far worse on human rights than Israel. So this obsession that the political left, not all, but a lot of the political left has with the far left, has with Israel, is like Mike Pence said, it's just, they just hate Jews.
Right.
That's just all there is to it. That's the bottom line. They just hate Jews. And so anything that goes wrong in Israel, or seemingly goes wrong, that's against the Palestinians or the Arabs, is perceived as just exploited to some kind of international crisis, you know, of human rights abuses. And that's just not accurate. You know, that's the way I view it.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a lot of the, in most Muslim countries, you want to talk about individual rights. You can't carry a Bible in Saudi Arabia. You can't have a house church. You can't freely express your Christianity in almost all of these Muslim countries.
Right.
So
where are they on? Why don't these far lefties go after all these Muslim countries or China?
And the oppression of women in Afghanistan, in Iran, in Iraq.
No, not a bleep, not a peep, as they say.
Yep.
All right, do we have a guest with us? Not yet. Okay. But he hadn't canceled. Okay. Jim Caviezel. We're waiting on Jim Caviezel to be on the program. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well,
just before we finish with that story. Sure. So the Israeli president, not the prime minister. The prime minister is Benjamin Netanyahu.
Correct.
But the president.
Herzog.
Herzog. He's the one. Is he speaking to a joint session of Congress?
Right now, as we sit here, he's doing that, yes.
Okay. You know, I'm embarrassed to say I never knew Israel had a president. I don't even know what his role is. Is that?
It's kind of a figurehead role.
He shouldn't be called president then. Huh? You're not a figurehead role is king or queen or.
Yeah, but in a lot of parliamentary nations, the prime minister is the one that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one with the power.
Yes.
So I don't know why this gentleman is usually a person who speaks to the to the Congress. I mean, a joint session, Senate and House. They're head of a state.
Yes.
They're not number two.
No.
Or ceremonial.
Mm-hmm.
That's would it be like the King of England? What's
Charles?
Charles speaking?
Well, I think I'm looking up now, looking up a webpage on the Embassy of Israel. He's not just a figurehead. The prime minister has most of the power, but this says the president accredits Israel's envoys to foreign countries, accepts the credentials of foreign diplomats. He signs every law enacted by the Knesset and treaties and agreements with foreign countries that have been ratified by the Knesset.
He plans the government picnics, too.
Well,
That's part of it. I mean, that's like job description number 10.
It kind of sounds like the vice president in this country.
Yeah.
There are powers.
Right.
There is some authority, but it's
really
completely overshadowed by the president in this country.
Yeah.
And that's what it sounds like here with the prime minister and the president of Israel.
Okay. Not yet. Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, next story.
Well, at noon Central Time today, if people are off work, they're likely going to want to tune in to two whistleblowers are appearing before the House Oversight Committee, two IRS whistleblowers. This is the ongoing story with regards to, and these whistleblowers, one of them, they've already made declarations that they have been held back for years in their investigation of Hunter Biden. Basically, they're going to testify today under oath that they were basically told to back away from the investigation by the IRS of where Hunter Biden is getting his money. For instance, there was one paragraph here in a story I read this morning. In one specific case, one of the whistleblowers described IRS agents' efforts to execute a search warrant of a storage facility in Virginia where Biden's documents, Hunter Biden's documents, were being stored. He said the assistant U.S. attorney involved in the case reached out to Hunter Biden's lawyers and tipped them off that the IRS agents were going to go to this storage place and ruin their, he says, the whistleblower ruined our chance to get evidence before being destroyed. Now stop and think about that. Somebody from the Biden Justice Department calls the lawyer for Hunter Biden and says, hey, by the way, IRS agents are headed towards this storage facility where Hunter Biden has his documents held. Gee whiz, I just wanted to give you a tip on that.
Well, I think you're being unfair to the Biden administration. That happens a lot with the IRS.
Yeah.
So
what happens a lot?
The IRS is tipped off, and you get to destroy documents, right, and not have to subject them to an IRS audit.
Where is Lois Lerner when you need her?
That's right.
To plead the fifth. whatever. That would be a good story for us. In the whatever happened to department?
Yeah. Lois Lerner.
Whatever happened to Lois Lerner? What's she doing today? Is she gardening? Is she, does she live on the coast of
Spain?
Of Spain or something?
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We're going to interrupt this story
very
session.
Very fruitful conversation.
Yes, to talk to our guest, Jim Caviezel. He is an actor, and he's starred in many roles, including The Passion of the Christ. But his latest film, which is just a huge success all over America, is Sound of Freedom, the story of Tim Ballard and child sex trafficking. It's a dark subject, but it's done. The movie covers this topic in a way that you can watch it on a film. All right, Jim, are you with us?
I am.
Thanks for being on with us. I'm Tim.
And, hi, Tim.
And we got three guys with one-syllable names, so it ought to be easy for you here. You remember all these scripts. I got Tim, Ed, and Fred, okay?
Tim, Ed, and Fred. Okay.
Are you at home today? Are you in California? Where are you?
No, I'm selling this movie in New York City.
Okay, in New York City. Tell us, I know you've answered this question 1,000 times, but not to our audience. Tell our listeners on American Family Radio how you got involved in Sound of Freedom.
The producer, Eduardo Verástegui, who I knew, had already gone to 19 other actors, and they didn't want this role. So I was... Tim Ballard had wanted me, and then I had also adopted three children from China, so I was very well aware of the dangers that children go through, both in U.S. and internationally, and I loved the script. And Alejandro Monteverdi, the director, wanted me, and then that's how it kind of came to be. But the script was extremely powerful, especially in the line in the screenplay when he goes down to meet with one of the former cartel members, and he said that, why are you doing this? And he says, because God's children are not for sale. And then the other part of the screenplay that was extremely powerful is that, you know, a lot of modern day Christians, they get to a certain point, and when it's possibly losing their life to save another, that's not part of Christianity they want to be a part of. But this guy, Tim Ballard, he does it. And this cartel man asks him, or tells him, he says, when God tells you to do something, you don't hesitate. So there's a lot of things in the gospel here. And many people, you know, to understand is there's, you know, Paul the Apostle was beheaded. John the Baptist was beheaded. And Christians are, you know, being murdered for their faith. So martyrdom is a possibility, especially now. now, but when you put the children in the line, I'd stand before a train before my children, you know.
Yeah.
That's how much I love them. So that's why it's inspiring. And
are you surprised at the enormous success of the film across America the last few weeks? I mean, it's just like you're...
$85 million, I think, over the weekend.
Sound total. Of Freedom's number two, or has been number two, was number one or number two. And then, I mean, you guys are just, with this movie, it's just been, it's been a hit.
Well, our numbers, our screen percentages have dominated. We're not in the theaters, a lot of the big studio films, but we're beating them. We're competing with them daily, and it's out of this normal studio system. And so Angel, and this is the ones that put out The Chosen. Their model is quite remarkable. They're not a big aircraft carrier like a big studio, but they're a frigate. Or a destroyer, much like a SEAL team. They can turn that ship around really quick. And the studios are getting drained right now with losing millions because this movie is in the way. And trust me, that industry is seeing that there's a writing on the wall that God has created something that could... turn this whole thing around as far as what kind of material is going to be shown to our children.
Fred?
Jim, Fred here. When the movie first came out, there were stories out there in the mainstream media that really panned the movie. They talked about conspiracy theories. They said the issue of child trafficking is not as serious as the movie depicts. Were you surprised that the mainstream media would carry those kinds of stories on such a serious and well-documented crisis?
Yeah, if you go and look at Ms. Rodas's sworn testimony on April 26, she testifies at 85,000 children in front of Congress subcommittee. And this is also, she's submitting testimony, evidence, and the 85,000 children have disappeared that crossed over the border. They're not in any public schools. They're not in kindergartens, or junior highs, or nothing. They're gone. Then Tim Ballard talks about quite extensively organ harvesting. Again, this is another part of this evil empire. It's a $152 billion a year business. And just for your listeners, that's more than every professional sports team in the United States and also all the professional World Cup soccer teams, all of them. And then add on every 18-year-old going to Stanford University for 4 years in the United States, every 18-year-old. That's $152 billion. There's so much documentation on this and videos and the stuff that Tim has, because he's collecting data every
Tim Ballard, you're talking about. Yeah.
That's correct. So, you know, Tim Ballard, the movie is quite remarkable because, you know, he's a CIA trained, then he goes into Homeland Security. And so they take down one of the worst pedophiles and traffickers I've ever seen, named Erp Limpochinsky. And this guy, there's a little five-year-old in the car, and the little boy asks Tim, will you save my sister? And actually hands him a little medallion that says 1 Timothy on it, 1 Timoteo in Spanish, and his name is Tim. And he took that as a sign from God to go and find this little girl. And so essentially, it's like what Jesus says is that he would sell, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl that you'd sell everything for. In this particular case, that little the pearl is this little girl, and he's going to lay his life down for this little girl, and he's done it to thousands and thousands and thousands of little kids. You know, my faith cost me a lot in the industry. I had my shoulder dislocated. I was struck by lightning. I had two heart surgeries, including open heart. And it's been quite extensive, the pain. And there's not a lot of places to go because I'm not a happy Jesus kind of guy. I know that I know that it could cost me my life, but the love that I feel in my heart is so powerful that I need Jesus that close to me that I would defend him to the nth degree. And Tim Ballard has this kind of faith, this childlike quality, depth. And so that's where I really connected to him.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you one other question. Thank you for being on with us here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. We're talking to actor Jim Caviezel, who plays the lead role in Tim Ballard in the movie Sound of Freedom, which is an enormous hit all across America. I've seen it, Fred seen it, and Ed's going to go see it this weekend. Where was that movie filmed?
Columbia.
Okay.
Columbia. We were in 5 locations in Colombia. And, you know, these pedophiles will come right up to you. Traffickers will sell little kids to you right on the street. And I personally experienced that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's evil, wicked, sick. Well, listen, Jim, thanks so much for being on with us here on AFR. And we appreciate the movie and your life's work, your career. We thank you for being our guest this morning. May the Lord bless you.
Okay.
Okay. So he's gone, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was great interview there.
Well, and he's up in New York. There's no telling how much media this guy's been doing. He's probably exhausted. So we do appreciate him being on with us. I'll tell you, the fact that this movie got made is kind of like an act of God. You know, Disney passed up on. I mean, No studio wanted to touch this movie, which is disturbing in and of itself. I'm not saying I'm jumping on board of any of the conspiracy theories, but it does show you that Hollywood, by and large, with the exception of people like Jim Caviezel, and there are some in Hollywood does not care about God or what God's will is on this earth, and that's why these folks making this film have done a great thing.
That was Jim Caviezel. He was our guest, star of the movie Sound of Freedom. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. If you want to send us an email, the email address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Tim, Ed, and Fred here. We were joined last half hour by Jim Caviezel, the lead actor in the movie Sound of Freedom, which is an enormous hit all over America. And we were thankful for Mr. Caviezel for being on with us. I didn't know he had such health issues.
No.
He was, if I'm not mistaken, when he was doing The Passion of the Christ, he was struck twice by lightning. So I don't know whether that was part of what harmed his heart or not. So, that was 2004. That was 19 years ago, that movie, The Passion of the Christ. Does it seem like it's been that long? It does. It seems like not yesterday, but it does.
That was 19 years ago?
It was 2004 when that came out.
Man, the years are going on.
I know.
Huh? We're about to reach our prime, fellas.
prime time, today's issues. And we started off the show talking about just, what did you say, a little bit better than average?
I said y'all were slightly better than average co-host.
Now we're talking about reaching our prime. Which is it, Tim?
If we're only slightly better, we're reaching our prime.
No, that's not good. Allison, my wife, my lovely and talented wife, you know, as I mentioned here, my recreational activity is I enjoy golfing.
Yeah.
But I tell her every year, you know, as she said, and I said, you know, she said, well, you've been twice this week, you know? And I say, yeah, honey, but, and she knows this, because I said, but if I'm going to make the tour, you know, you got to put in the time.
Right.
And my window's closing.
Yes.
So, So she's not buying it. But anyway.
I don't think she ever bought it.
You don't think she ever bought it?
I don't think she was ever buying what you were selling.
Oh, me. It's kind of like the fisherman, you know, he's telling his wife, you know, how am I ever going to catch the big one if I don't go out there and give it more
right.
time?
That's right. You want the big one or not? Right. You got to pay the price for that.
Pay the price. Got to get out there and fish. All right. So before we interview Jim Caviezel, what were we talking about, Fred?
We're talking about the big hearing that's coming up today in about an hour and 20 minutes. And this is the House Oversight Committee. And two IRS whistleblowers are going to be testifying under oath once again that they were involved with the investigation of Hunter Biden and where his money went. Obviously, they're investigating with regards to no taxes paid.
These are two whistleblowers?
Two whistleblowers. One has been identified already. The other is going to come out public today and identify himself.
Okay, can I say something that a lot of people are thinking here? There's FBI corruption. There's IRS corruption. It appears, if you believe these whistleblowers and these people who are testifying, this is the IRS. Wasn't it last week or the week before we had the FBI, former yes. FBI agents, mm-hmm. saying, I was told... Don't pursue the claims against Hunter Biden.
Yes.
And then you got...
Well, you got general Department of Justice corruption. I mean, Department of Justice is larger than just the FBI. You have corruption...
Weaponized?
Yes.
Speaking of which, we have a clip on that, don't we? We're going to use that next half hour, the one with Governor DeSantis. Anyway, we know what happened with... you know, with the Russia.
Yes.
And Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. paying to put out lies about Donald Trump and his campaign. And you remember that?
Right.
That was corruption at the highest levels.
Yes.
Then you had Jim Comey, the former FBI director, and his, you know, him dismissing the investigation against Hillary Clinton and, you know, just dismissing it.
Yes.
Arbitrarily, mm-hmm. really, or unilaterally, I guess I should say.
Yep.
Remember what happened there? I mean, so all these things are favored one way, and that's pro-Democrat.
Yes.
Right.
Against Republicans and for Democrats. All these.
And beyond the Republicans, yeah. we have the Justice Department going after parents who show up at school board meetings.
Yeah.
And the pro-life people going after that.
These two whistleblowers are apparently... What they've alleged is that officials at the Justice Department and the FBI and the IRS interfered in the investigation into
yes.
Hunter Biden.
Yes.
And so
I tell you what, if the Republicans had not won the House of Representatives, we wouldn't be hearing anything about this.
It'd all be swept under the rug.
And they barely won. You know, they barely won a majority. I'm talking about the House mm-hmm. Became Republican by a narrow majority. But that's the only reason we're even hear about these things at all.
Yes.
And remember, it was a month or so ago, 6 weeks ago, the House Republicans had to subpoena the FBI to get a document. You remember that? Mm-hmm. The FBI said, no, you're not getting it.
That's right.
And you remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this was Christopher Wray,
yes,
the FBI director,
right,
who was appointed by
President
Donald
Trump.
Yes.
On the recommendation of Chris Christie.
Yes.
So it's a mess. This deep state has tentacles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to your point, you're mentioning Governor DeSantis did an interview with CNN yesterday.
Yeah.
And
Jake Tapper.
And he addressed this whole issue. And if elected president, he says he's going to make some major changes. Cut number 8.
This country is going down the road of criminalizing political differences. And I think that's wrong. Alvin Bragg stretched a statute in Manhattan to be able to try to target Donald Trump. Most people, even people on the left, acknowledge if that wasn't Trump, that case would not have likely been brought against a normal civilian. And so you have a situation where Department of Justice, FBI, have been weaponized against people they don't like. And the number one example of that happened to be against Donald Trump with the Russia collusion. That was not a legitimate investigation. That was being done to try to drive Trump out of office. And so what I've said as president, my job is to restore a single standard of justice to end weaponization of these agencies. We're going to have a new FBI director on day one. We're going to have big changes at the Department of Justice. Americans across the political spectrum need to have confidence that what is going on is based on the rule of law, not based on what political tribe you're in.
That was Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. He made an appearance yesterday with CNN's Jake Tapper.
Mm-hmm.
And that was he was asked about that, and that was his comments. So a lot of people, Fred, at least on the Republican side, are recognizing and talking about this weaponization, is what it's called, of the federal government.
Yes.
Against conservatives.
Yes.
And Christians.
Yeah. And what's frustrating for a lot of ordinary people is that there seems to be one standard of law,
yeah,
for the Democrats,
yeah,
in power, and one standard of law for everyone else. Okay. So if you have a gun charge for illegally possessing a handgun, like Hunter Biden, if you're an ordinary person, you don't get to plea bargain that down to nothing like Hunter Biden did.
Right. That's
so
a good point.
People are saying, wait a second. You even had a couple of rap stars, some of whom had spent time in prison. And listen, if you are in possession of an illegal firearm, I'm not saying, you know, people should get a slap on the wrist. I'm just saying the law should apply to everyone equally.
Yeah.
You know, we have the mayor, is it the mayor of Boston, who was the DUI?
Sent a list of her political enemies to the police.
Yeah, this kind of thing, people are catching on. Mm-hmm. To this kind of thing. And listen, I'm not even saying that Republicans don't do it. It's wrong if Republicans do it. You should not be allowed to get special treatment. Nobody should be above the law. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you're an athlete. I don't care if you're an actor. I don't care if you're this or you're that. People have to have,
yeah,
confidence in the justice system, and the way, at least one of the ways you give them confidence in the justice system, is that you are living under the understanding that this law applies to everyone equally, no special treatment.
Yeah.
You know, and on top of all of this, you have Cocaine Gate. You know,
right,
the Secret Service comes back and says, couldn't find any DNA, couldn't find any fingerprints. And by the way, we found out, because they were asked about this during the White House briefing the other day, they did not interview one individual. The Secret Service.
Because they don't want to know.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what it suggests. Does that not,
right,
scream that?
Yep.
Come on. If Donald Trump was still in the White House and he had a son that had a cocaine problem.
Oh, my goodness.
That son, who visits the White House on a regular
would
basis.
Would be the number one suspect.
Would have been questioned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You got to go ask Hunter Biden, is this your cocaine?
Yes.
How hard is that?
Yes.
Is this your dope?
Yeah.
Right here.
Not to mention the cameras that are 24 hours a day.
Listen, we still don't know who leaked the Dobbs decision. And as you mentioned,
right,
earlier in the week, meanwhile, if you were within 10 miles of the U.S. Capitol,
hey,
All right. You've had a visit from the FBI.
Yeah.
Because they pinged your phone.
Yeah, ping your phone. Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. We're getting worked up.
Yeah.
Guys.
We were reaching our peak, our prime. Right then.
Okay. Let's go on to the next story, Fred, because
I'm going to take a breath.
We're about to lose control here.
I think it's time for a Karine Jean-Pierre moment.
Oh, thank you. That's meditation to me.
That'll calm us down.
That's like happy puppies and a nice warm breeze.
And a rainbow on a warm, sunny day.
Did you know? All right. So President Biden has come up with a way to work around the Supreme Court decision against his massive student loan payout. But he's come up with another plan.
I would call it a scheme, Fred. I wouldn't call it a workaround, but go ahead.
Yes. So now we find out that he plans to forgive, and it's going to involve about 800,000 students who have student loans. And there's been a price tag of $485 billion over the next several years.
The Supreme Court just told him he can't do that.
Yeah, but you know what they do, and we talked about this story meeting, as Ed, I think, was pointing out, they just change a few words on the plan. Right. So now we have a new plan.
That's why I call it a scheme.
Yes, that's what it is. Anyway, you're going to love this. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre says these student borrowers, they're owed this money. They are owed this money. Cut number 7.
These are borrowers who had been making payments for decades, but were never given the relief they were promised. So that's what we saw with our announcement last week. These borrowers are owed this relief, yet Republican elected officials are still objecting to. College.
It's the use of the word owe. Right. Can you imagine this?
They owe.
This is incredible. She says that student borrowers are owed $39 billion. That's the word she uses, owed. This is the world turned upside down, isn't it? Do you have to pay your rent? Do you have to pay your mortgage? We've become an entitlement society, and it's going nowhere. This is not going well. It really is the world turned upside down. You borrow as a student, you borrow the money, and then you say, you owe me this money. Pay me back. You owe me.
Well, there's so many.
That was Stuart Varney.
Yeah, Stuart Varney. There's so many levels to this story. What we're talking about, folks, in case you're just joining us, you remember last year Biden said, I'm going to wipe out, I'm going to unilaterally on my own wipe out, not wipe out, but forgive student loans. Okay? And I'm going to, he didn't say what I'm about to say, but this is what he didn't say, that if he'd have been honest, he would have said, I'm going to transfer billions of dollars of student loans to the American taxpayer. Because that's what he was trying to do.
Right.
Right. And the reason he's trying to do it is he wants to buy votes. How do you buy votes? You tell people who owe money to the government or for their student loans, you tell people, you're not going to have to pay that. I'm going to transfer that over to the American taxpayer. Now I need you to vote for me, right? We good with that one? That's what that was all about, okay?
Right.
It was shameless, but that's what it was all. It's classic Democrat politics.
Right.
All right, so that goes all the way to Supreme Court. Supreme Court of the United States says, you know what? The president doesn't have that authority. That has to go through Congress. The legislative branch, when dealing with money, a president can't just go around the country forgiving money that's owed the government, okay? So that was settled. Now, here we go again. Biden comes back and says, okay, and you described it at our meeting this morning that they try to change a few words and go right back at it again.
And what they do is they change a few words so that the Supreme Court ruling applies over here in this area. They say, well, we're over here now, so the Supreme Court ruling doesn't apply, when the whole point of the Supreme Court ruling is, as you described it, that is not something the executive branch can do. And to Karine Jean-Pierre's assertion that these young people are owed this money, what she's saying is Joe Biden promised them that their loans would be forgiven. Therefore, they're owed that money, and now that the Supreme Court has said, no, you can't do that, she comes around and says, well, we got to find another way to do it because they were expecting it. They were expecting that their loans would be forgiven. So now we owe it to them. Well, maybe you shouldn't have promised it in the first place.
You know who should pay? You know who should back up these loans? What, right, as it stands right now, the federal government does, right?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them.
Huh? The student, you get to take out a student loan. It's
guaranteed by the federal government.
Yeah. All right. You know who it's needs to be guaranteed through? The schools and universities, the colleges and universities. You know how many of these schools, by schools, I mean colleges and universities, they're, you know how large their endowments are?
Billions.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, Harvard could probably pay for all the U.S. to go to school.
Right.
To go to college for
nothing.
For nothing for a decade. I mean, I'm just talking about, I think they need to switch. I don't know that this will happen unless a Republican legislature takes over, House and Senate, and a Republican president is in. But I would suggest you say do away with the federal government being involved in student loans at all. And let the schools finance their own loans.
Uh-huh. Well, they can't do that.
Why not?
They can't do that. If they do that, they're going to have to cut out the women's studies program and the LGBT programs because they're going to have to conserve money. Now, they can't.
Yeah.
They can't match the money coming in with the money going out. It's tongue-in-cheek, people.
Well, listen.
That's why you've got all these bizarre study programs and degrees you can get and underwater basket weaving and everything else is because the federal government has basically written a blank check to these colleges and universities.
You know, I think it was Elon Musk. Were we talking about this a couple of weeks ago? Elon Musk said colleges will become more of a social club in the near future if we're not there yet. And young people graduating from high school will start going into a specific trade or industry or specialty right away. And
they'll learn online.
They'll learn online, or they'll go to their own. You know, they'll say, "Well, I'm not going to spend 4 years trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm going to major in financing, and I'm going to get busy right now. So I'm going to go to some financial specialties." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I went to 4-year university as a PAC. I packed 4 years into five, most baby boomers, we were told that, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, that, college is good for you. And even if you don't know what you want to study right away, because there's value in, a college education.
Right.
And the things that come with it, the studies.
A good liberal arts degree.
Well, also, you got your whole life to work.
Right.
Why not have 4, or in my case, 5 years of, and I worked while I was in college, so it wasn't like I wasn't working as well.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? To enjoy those years, you're younger, and, the college experience, the sports and the.
Right.
And the socialization and friends and so forth.
It's fun.
While doing your studies. Huh?
College can be fun.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people go. It's kind of like a rite of passage.
It was for me. It was too fun for a year.
But let me ask you this, okay? College, this is my take on college. I went to college so I could get my first job. After that, nobody asked about my college education.
We didn't?
No, I mean, nobody. No, you guys checked on my resume.
We did.
Yeah, it was checked. But nobody asked what I studied. All you guys or anyone else wants to know is, would you do at your last job?
Yeah, and can you do what I'm asking you to do?
And can you do what I'm asking you to do? For the most part, that college education is to get you into your first job. And from there, you better start learning about whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, and I think what Elon Musk is saying, people are about to stop asking, do you even have a – they're not going to care whether you have a college degree or not.
Right.
They just want to know, can you do the job I'm asking you to do?
And to your point, there will be some industries, maybe a growing number of industries, that will take young people on right out of high school and say, we'll train you.
Yeah.
We'll train you, and you give us 5 years.
Yeah. And so the cost of going to college and the university is getting so expensive that they're about to price themselves out of the marketplace.
These young people will, some of them will never pay this off. You get, you have $250,000, $300,000.
Well, you should never get to that point.
Well, that's what it costs to get a four-year degree, even in a lot of state schools. And that's the insanity, and that's why I agree with Elon Musk. That is not a model that will can last. It can't last.
Also, a lot of these colleges and universities have it figured out. They just raise the tuition because they know the students are going to get the loans anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.